ZipRecruiter is a proud sponsor of Without Warning Podcast. Use code word WOW and search for jobs anytime, anywhere.
The Lauren Agee case was hastily closed by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain with private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Lauren. This is Without Warning. Warning. The following episode contains details about sexual violence and elements that are graphic in nature.
Throughout this podcast, you've heard many things that don't add up. One of the most egregious matters is how this case was mishandled. The things that were done or weren't done make me extremely angry. Simple, standard things that a detective or investigator learns in their 101 training were missed or not even done in this case. I have many things to say about this, but I feel it's best for you to hear what happened directly from the source and let you make your own conclusions. You are about to hear a deposition with Sheriff Patrick Ray, the sheriff of DeKalb County, whose team was called to the scene the day that Lauren's body was found. You are going to hear background information on Sheriff Ray, including his education, his training, and his resume. Listen carefully to this section. You are going to hear about his knowledge of the Lauren Agee case. It is astounding to me his lack of knowledge of this case, specifically not being able to remember all the names of the individuals involved. I've said enough for now. Let's dive into his deposition.
Have you ever been deposed before?
Yes.
How many times? If you can recall.
Two.
Have you ever been a party to a lawsuit?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about those.
The first was a lawsuit of an inmate back years ago claimed that he got strip searched in front of a camera. The second one was on a death in the jail.
Regarding the lawsuit with the inmate who claimed to have been strip searched, were you named as a defendant?
Yes.
And what was the allegation against you? That you conducted the search?
No, I'm not. There was probably four or five of us that were in there. I don't know what they said I'd done. We were just part of it.
When did that case come about?
Probably, it would be a guess, 90s.
Long time ago.
A long time ago, yes. That's okay. Why I can't remember a lot about it.
I understand. What about the other lawsuit with the death in the jail? What happened?
Had an inmate die. We done the depositions, and it never went to court.
Were you named as a defendant?
Yes.
And what was the allegation against you?
There again, I think it was a few of us that were named in there that just a wrongful death.
Okay.
Lawsuit. I don't think it accused us of doing anything particular individually.
When did this lawsuit occur?
There again, I'm not sure on the date.
More than 10 years ago?
No, it's less.
More recently?
Mm-hmm. But it's probably about 10 or 11, 9 or 10 years ago. That would be a guess.
Okay.
On that.
Where was the inmate housed who died?
The jail, DeKalb County Jail.
Gotcha. And what was your role at the time?
The sheriff. Mm-hmm.
So you said that you'd been deposed twice. Were those the two cases in which you were deposed?
Yes.
Have you ever been involved in any other legal matter? Sure. A legal matter like a civil lawsuit or a criminal investigation against yourself?
Never a criminal investigation. One time had a vehicle that a guy had done some work on for me that didn't work out well, and I sued him, and he countersued me. So
that happens.
Yes.
How is
I won mine and his got dismissed. So
I see. Okay. Are you represented by an attorney here today?
No.
Okay. Have you spoken to an attorney about this deposition?
No, other than the county attorney of coming here instead of Nashville. I didn't know. I had some things to do today, so that's why, this evening, so that's why I didn't want to go to Nashville.
So are you saying that your only communication with the county attorney was about scheduling and location and not substantively about the testimony that you're going to
give? Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you do other than the scheduling question to prepare for this deposition?
Nothing.
Okay. Have you reviewed any documents or spoken to anyone?
I did last night look through what I had sent all of you, all the attorneys.
And will you just, for the record, sort of describe what you sent the attorneys?
The whole case file of Lauren Agee and the case, not case file, the case file of Lauren Agee and the employment records of Jeremy Taylor. That's what I have sent every one of you that are representing someone, so okay. Some multiple times.
Thank you for
You're
that.
You're welcome.
Was anyone present with you reviewing those files?
Off and on, yes.
Can you tell me the names of folks who were present?
My chief deputy, Robert Patrick.
Okay. Anyone else?
That's it. Okay.
And what is Robert Patrick's involvement in this case?
He was one of the, at that time, he was a detective, and he was one of the detectives that was down there.
And just for the record, at that time, you mean around July of 2015?
Yes.
Is he currently still a detective for DeKalb County?
He's my chief deputy.
You said that.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me about your role as sheriff of DeKalb County. How long have you been in that role?
I'll just start from the very beginning, if it would be all right, because we might have to go back to that anyway. I started my law enforcement career here in DeKalb County, May of 1989. I worked here from May of 89 until 2002. I served as a dispatcher, a correctional officer, a deputy, a shift supervisor, detective, chief deputy my last 4 years. The sheriff I worked for got beat in 2002, and I went to Warren County Sheriff's Department as a criminal investigator there. Worked there 4 years until I got ran for sheriff and got elected in 2006, where I've served as sheriff since then.
Tell me again, what was your role at Warren County?
An investigator, criminal investigator, or a detective. Some call it one, some call it the other.
And throughout your career from 89 to 2002, which sheriff were you working for?
Kenneth Pack.
In what county?
Here in DeKalb.
Are you from DeKalb County originally?
Yes.
Where'd you go to school?
DeKalb County High School.
And college?
No college.
No college. Have you ever received a certificate or taken any post-secondary formal education classes?
Went to the Tennessee Law Enforcement Training Academy, and then I've taken multiple schools throughout my career of different things. So
the law enforcement?
No college or anything like that.
Okay. Tell me about the Law Enforcement Training Academy. Was that prior to taking on your role in 1989?
No.
When did you?
I done that in 1991, I think.
What type of training or education was required between high school and starting in law enforcement?
None.
Okay. Did you receive any on-the-job training at the beginning?
Yes.
And tell me about that.
I started as a lakeside patrolman of where we would go around to different lake sites and check lake sites throughout the summer. And I would sometimes ride with some of the deputies and see what they done and things like that. And then that advanced on up to when I was a deputy
What types of cases did you investigate as a deputy?
A lot of traffic accident cases and stuff like that. Most of the time back then, we had one detective here, or the sheriff would take care of assigning whoever he wanted to investigate something. I was just a patrol deputy at that time.
And you mentioned lakeside investigations or lakeside patrols.
Yes.
What were you checking for?
Just the county had contracted with the Corps of Engineers to patrol the lake sites to be seen, and if there were any trouble there, such as public drunkenness or fights or so forth and so on.
Okay.
Just to keep the peace kind of thing.
Then you said you moved to Warren County in 2002?
I went to work there, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what precipitated or prompted that move?
The sheriff I worked for lost the election, and when we're not civil service here, so the new sheriff or any county office that comes in can lay off the employees that are there and rehire who they want or hire who they want outside the department. So,
were you laid off?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was the name of the new sheriff who laid you off?
Lloyd. Well, he doesn't lay me off. The sheriff I'm working for at that time would have been the one to lay me off. Okay. Kenneth Pack would lay me off.
Okay. And then Lloyd?
Emmons.
Emmons would come in and rehire or hire
whoever
you wanted
to. Correct.
But did you request rehiring by Lloyd Emmons?
No.
Okay. And why not?
I didn't want to work for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your relationship with him like?
I didn't want to work for him.
Okay.
I speak to him. Yeah.
Did you run against him when you ran for sheriff in 2006?
No. Another guy ran against him and beat him in the primary, and then I ran against him in the general August election.
Okay. What types of cases did you investigate or follow or handle in Warren County?
Drug cases, rape cases, murder cases. We assisted the TBI on some of them. Some of them the Sheriff's Department done their own investigations with up there.
Now, I'm not familiar with Warren County versus DeKalb County, so you have to forgive my ignorance. Mm-hmm. Is Warren County a bigger or smaller county in terms of per capita?
Bigger.
Bigger. More cases to handle, more incidents occurring.
Yes.
Okay, so did you receive any special training before beginning your role at Warren County?
No.
Did you have any on-the-job training or shadowing?
No.
Okay. Were there any incidents in Warren County that you felt were new to you completely and outside of the experience that you had in DeKalb County prior to going to Warren County?
Ask that again, please.
Sure. Did you have cases in Warren County that you'd never handled before, subject matter that you hadn't handled before?
No.
Okay. So in DeKalb County, prior to going to Warren, you were also handling rapes, drug investigations, murder, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have on-the-job training then or take classes between 1989 and 2002 related to investigation of drug cases, murder cases, rape cases?
I had multiple schools that I had went to during my career, ranging from drug schools to death investigation schools to might have been a terrorist school that was in there. So, I mean, there was just multiple different kind of schools.
How did the schools offer training? Was it through the county?
Yes.
And approximately how long would you attend school per topic or seminar?
Some of them were one day, some of them were a week, some of them might have been 2 weeks on a couple of them.
Were they mandatory?
No.
Okay, so you volunteered to attend these types of trainings. And
yes.
What did you receive in exchange for going to the training? A certificate?
Yes, okay. Certificates.
Were there materials issued that you read and reviewed during those classes?
Yes.
Okay. What led you to run for sheriff in 2006?
This is where I was born and raised at. I had worked here for 13 years and 3 months. At the time that the sheriff lost, I had some people that wanted me to run that year, but I would not run because of loyalty to him, of giving me a job and promoting me. And during that 4-year stint that I was in Warren County, I had multiple people come and ask me to run, and I prayed about it, and that was my answer that I got, and I ran.
And, okay, so then you've been the sheriff now from 2006 to the present, and you're up for re-election.
That is correct.
I understand. And have you had any complaints or issues since becoming the sheriff in 2006 from the public or otherwise? That's a broad question.
Yes, it is. Define complaints. What are you talking from the public about? Complaints about what?
Your role as the sheriff. Your performance
I'm sure.
As sheriff.
Yes, I'm sure.
Have any come to you directly?
As in. That's a broad question. Yeah, I'm sure there are people out in the county that does not like me. Yes, if that's what you're asking. I'm sure of that.
Tell me about some of the complaints that you've heard.
I don't...
Recall
I don't
any
know.
Particular.
Yeah, just a lot of it's jealousy that you have. A lot of people might have been people I had arrested in time or their families. You know, one thing, as serving as sheriff, you're going to make... Or even as an officer, you're going to make one family member happy and another family member mad if there's an arrest made or something doesn't go the way on a call. So, yes, I'm sure there are people out there that does not like me.
And how do you handle those situations or complaints?
Towards me?
Yes.
I just roll off of me. I mean, I don't... I took an oath to... protect those people that don't like me just as much as the ones that love me. So if they need something, we've always done whatever we could. If they had a problem of some sort, so.
Part of the job.
Yes.
Tell me about your personal history. Where do you live? Currently still living in DeKalb County?
Yes, I do.
Do you have any personal relationship with the parties in this lawsuit?
No.
Have you ever met any of the parties of this lawsuit?
Yes.
Tell me which ones.
I think Hannah Palmer is who I think I met. I can define that, whoever the girl that lives right down from Miss Smith. She lives in the neighborhood there close to her or something.
Sherry Smith?
Yes.
Okay. So you've met Sherry Smith before?
Yes.
And
the same night I met the girl.
Hannah so Palmer?
I think that's who it was.
How did you meet that girl?
The day that this happened on, I went to a drug court conference, and that's where I was. So I missed a full week of what has happened other than phone communication.
And when you're talking about what happened, you are referencing Wakefest 2015.
Yes.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And the death of Lauren Agee.
Yes. When I got back, the detective, who was Jeremy Taylor, had told me that he was going to talk to, I believe it was Hannah Palmer. And I told him, he told me that Miss Smith had lived right down from her. And I told him that I wanted to go with him and meet Miss Smith and give her my condolences and introduce myself because I wasn't here at that time.
So approximately how long after Lauren's death did you get back involved in the investigation, you said you were away for about a week?
Yes.
So approximately how many days after her death did you return to work?
It would be a guess. I think that happened on a Sunday, and that was the day that I left, and I got back on a Friday or Saturday. I don't remember. But it would have been the next week, I'm sure.
So several days had passed.
Yes.
Okay. What was your interaction with Hannah Palmer that night that you met her near Miss Smith's house?
The detective talked to her about some stuff, about the what had happened and so forth and so on. He might have even, that might even be the audio that he had took from her. I don't remember.
Jeremy Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. Did you make any statements at that time?
To?
Miss Palmer.
I introduced myself to her and her dad, mom and dad might have been there.
Do you recall anything about what Ms. Palmer said to Jeremy Taylor?
No.
Or to you?
No.
Okay. Recall anything about what her parents might have said?
I just remember her dad was very emotional, and that they were, I think some things had been said between Ms. Smith and on social media and things like that that had all of them upset and sort of scared.
What was that on social media that had them scared?
I don't recall that.
Okay. Do you recall anything about it? Like, what was the subject of what was said? Or okay.
No.
Is there anything in particular about Hannah's demeanor that night that you met her that you recall?
Just being upset and
was she
scared?
Crying?
Some, yes.
When you say she was upset, how do you know she was upset?
About crying and emotional.
Okay. Did she appear to be cooperative, open to talking to you about the investigation?
She didn't talk to me. She talked to the detective, but yes.
Did you ask?
I don't remember any resistance that she gave.
Okay. What about Aaron Lilly? Have you ever met Aaron Lilly?
Not that I recall.
Have you ever met Briggs Gambrell?
No.
Have you ever met Christopher Stout?
No.
Okay. Have you ever met anyone in any of their families that you know of?
No, ma'am.
Let's go back to Sherry Smith. When did you first meet Sherry Smith?
That night.
Okay.
Or that evening.
And describe your interaction with Ms. Smith that evening.
Detective Taylor and I left that house and went to Miss Smith's house and went up and knocked on the door and told them who I was and gave them my condolences, and we sat there and talked a minute, and I could tell something was wrong with her. She acted like she was mad, and I kept talking with her and told her that she kept, that we were talking back and forth about how she might have died or what things that she thought that looked strange and stuff like that. And then she finally said, I'm going to give you something. Like, she didn't trust the detective that was there at that time, and she gave me or showed me some things on the internet through, I don't know if it was Facebook or it was on the zip drive that y'all have, is what her husband put it on. So that's what it was. And then she called Lauren's dad, and him and some other girl came over there that knew something about something that wasn't. She was right in what some of the stuff she was saying, whoever the girl was, but she was taking some of it out of context to get a result to something that the detective told me later that that wasn't right of what she was saying. It was right, but it was out of context of what it was.
Okay.
She took a different opinion, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of what it was.
To get the full picture, who was present that night? You, Jeremy Taylor, right?
Yes, Miss Smith and I guess Mr. Smith.
Yes, her husband.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then her dad came and another lady I don't...
Lauren Agee's dad and another lady. Okay, so just the
six. It was a young girl.
Okay.
And I don't think, that's been a long time ago. I don't think anybody else was there. If it was, it would have been their family or friends that I don't know if I would have known or not.
And about how long did that meeting last?
A few hours.
You mentioned that Ms. Smith gave you a thumb drive.
Mr. Smith gave Mayor Jeremy Taylor one that.
Okay. Did you look at the contents of the thumb drive while you were there at the meeting or later?
Both. Mm-hmm.
What was on the thumb drive?
Looked like some emails, just random stuff.
Emails from whom?
I took them as from somebody to Sherry or backwards and forth. There was different things that was on there.
And do you recall anything about the contents of those emails?
No. I mean, that's, other than what I know the subtitles are on there, that would be it.
What steps did you take later to investigate the subject of the emails?
I didn't.
Do you know if Jeremy Taylor took any steps later to investigate?
Yes, he did.
What did he do, to your knowledge?
Well, you will have to ask him that. He just told me he reviewed them and talked to Ms. Smith about them right after that. Because I know at this time she was sending him emails every day, multiple emails to the detective of anything. And we asked her to do that. I told her anything that she felt like she needed to say or do, then do say what she wants to say. And if she needs to email or send us a letter or come see us or call us or whatever, then to do that. So she done what we asked her to do in the beginning.
Did she also email or visit you during the course of the investigation, or was it only Jeremy Taylor?
Jeremy Taylor.
Did you provide your email to Miss email address to Ms. Smith?
I don't know if I did or not.
What was your involvement in the investigation?
As far as doing anything with the investigation, I went down there that night, I told you about, and seen the young lady and then seen Miss Smith and met her family. And out of that meeting, they told us about two officers that worked for the White County Sheriff's Department that they had received a call from and said that Lauren's death was suspicious and it can't be right, and told information to that from their house.
You're talking about the Smiths?
Yes. Miss Smith's house. We leave there, find one of the officers in White County and talk to him.
What was the name of that officer?
I knew you were going to ask that. I don't know. He's the one with the glasses. That was, I think, a sergeant or something at that time.
Any other descriptive features about him that you recall?
No.
Okay.
And then the only other thing that I done was when the allegation of the boat marks, the canoe marks in the chest, my chief deputy, Robert Patrick, now he might have been my detective at that time. I don't know the time frame of that, but I think he was my detective. We went and found the boat the TWRA was on and done the comparisons.
Let's go back to the conversation with you that you had with the officer from White County.
Okay.
Who was present for that conversation?
Me, Jeremy Taylor, and him.
And what did you say?
I asked him if he called down there and told them that he didn't feel comfortable about it being an accident, or didn't feel comfortable about, he thought it was more than that. And I kept asking him why he thought that, and he kept just saying, well, that's what I thought. And I told him that he should have called us and told us any information that he had before he went to the family and told the family something that might not be true, or there might be a reason, just like the lady that was down there, the young lady that came with Lauren's dad. Some of the stuff she had was true, that I seen that where Detective Taylor had, but some of it wasn't, which throwed it into a different light of what had happened. So, but he didn't give us anything the whole time we talked to him in White County.
Did he mention any names of anyone that he had spoken to form that opinion that the death was not an accident?
He said that the best I can recall, that he kept saying that the boys, one of the boys, I don't remember which one it was acting weird.
How did he know, what's your understanding of how this officer from White County came to have information about the case?
Some more people from White County, and I don't know if there were any other departments, law enforcement departments there, were working security for Wakefest and other events that are there.
And during the course of his working security, he came into the investigation of Lauren's death. Is that what you understand?
Yes.
Do you know if he was ever interviewed by your office, besides the one conversation that you had with Jeremy Taylor?
I do not.
Do you remember the date approximately of when you had that conversation with this officer?
Would have been the same night that we went to Sherry Smith's and the other ladies, which was probably the next week after I got back.
Was there a recording, audio, or in writing of the communication you had with the officer from White County?
Not that I recall. Detective Taylor would have to answer that, but not that I recall.
So you did not record or write down anything about that conversation?
No.
Okay.
He didn't tell us anything to write down, other than he just had a feeling, weird feeling.
About one of the guys acting funny?
Yes.
Is there anything that you remember about the guy that he said was acting funny? For example, why he thought that this guy was acting funny?
I can't remember that. It's been...
Do you remember whether or not the officer from White County had interviewed the guy that he thought was acting funny?
No.
Okay. Do you think do you have any information about whether or not the officer from White County spoke to or observed the kid that was acting funny?
This is hearsay, but the only thing I know that the officers did not do was mention anything about anything to anybody that was there the night that Lauren was found there. They never mentioned a word to none of the detectives, none of the other officers that were there that were taking statements. Didn't say nothing to nobody.
So you're saying the officers from other counties did not make statements to officers from your office?
Yes.
Okay.
About anything that I know of, about anything that was suspicious, or he said this, or this here happened, or whatever.
Okay.
The only thing that sparked us going to talk to them was Ms. Smith saying that this officer called her and said that. Instead of calling us, they called her.
When did you learn that Lauren A.G. had died and that your office would initiate an investigation into her death?
The night that they found her.
Okay.
The evening.
What did you do when you learned about her death?
I'm sorry?
What did you do when you learned about her death?
The call came. They first called me and told me that a small child had drowned in the lake. That was the first initial call that they had got there. And when they got there,
who called you? Who's they?
multiple officers. The ones that was going to the scene, Jeremy Taylor called, my chief deputy at that time called, because they that's standard procedure for them to call me if somebody is dead. So they started calling just to tell me, to keep me sort of, because they knew I was out of town. And then a little later they called and told me that it was not a child, that it was a younger lady that had drowned. At that time, they thought had drowned.
What was your response?
As what?
What is your standard practice or procedure when there's a death? Do you make assignments for the investigation? Do you have any action that you need to take, or does your office sort of run seamlessly? I'm trying to understand what happened since you were out of town. Like, how did everyone know what to do?
My chief deputy would have been the next person in charge.
Who is your chief deputy?
Don Adamson.
Okay.
Adamson.
Okay. And so how was the assignment made for lead investigator on this case?
He was the one that was on call that week.
Jeremy Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there any protocol in your office for assigning cases other than who's on call? For example, if the nature of the case is a drug case or a rape case or a murder case, is there any distinction between which officer should take the lead on that case?
No.
To your knowledge, has Jeremy Taylor ever investigated a death case before Lauren Agee's death investigation?
I can't say yes or no, but I would say he's been to some of, I know he's been to different death cases since he's been a detective.
But to your knowledge, he hadn't necessarily taken the lead on a death case?
He could have.
Okay.
I don't have that information with me, but yes, he could have.
All right. Had you required Jeremy Taylor to undergo any type of death investigation training prior to the investigation for Lauren Agee?
No.
And to your knowledge, had he received any death investigation training voluntarily?
No.
Does your office provide on-the-job death investigation training of any kind?
We can. Yes. It's not a mandatory, but we can.
And so in this case, was there any guidance given to Jeremy Taylor in particular, knowing that this was a death investigation and that he was the officer in charge, on call?
He knew he was the officer on call that weekend.
Right. But did you give any additional guidance or training specifically in terms of how to handle a death investigation?
What happens, of course, it's hard for me to sit here and tell you a protocol to use, because every call that we go to is different. So different circumstances requires different things. Some deaths that they go to, they work. Some of them, the TBI works. Some of them, both of them do a joint to get a joint investigation together. So they're just different scenarios with different who's the lead role in it. So sometimes the TBI just assists, but still one of my detectives are in control of the investigation. So,
and in this case, what happened?
Detective Taylor took over the investigation. And
was TBI involved at all at the beginning of the investigation?
Not that I know of. See, I wasn't there for that first week. That would be something you'll have to ask them. So I don't know if they talked with anyone, or I know the DA, they talked with a district attorney.
What is your relationship to officers on the job? For example, are you a supervising officer of Jeremy Taylor, or do you work as more as peers? And if he needs you, he reaches out. Tell me about that.
With all my department, I'm the supervisor. I'm everyone's boss, so.
Right.
Yes.
How frequently do you comment on or become involved in the direct decisions made on the case?
I mean, my detectives, for sure, tell me what, give me updates on what they're working on and things throughout the week. So it just depends on
what they're working on.
Yeah.
So in the case of Lauren AG, and in particular with Jeremy Taylor being the lead investigator, was there ever a time during that first week when Jeremy Taylor reached out to you to give you updates or to ask questions or to request guidance on how to handle it?
I'm sure.
Do you recall the specifics of what he asked or what he updated you on?
Just what he had found out or what he had done. That wasn't every day that he done that or every time he done something. He called and told me that it wasn't a child. I remember that was there. And
do you remember any specifics about a time when he might have called to ask for permission to take an action on the investigation where you had to give permission or give authority?
No.
Okay. So he was pretty much in charge and just providing you with updates. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any reason why you may have concluded that Jeremy Taylor, strike that? I want to go back to your background just for a quick second.
Okay.
You've described beautifully your training, and you've got a great history, but I just need to make sure for my record. Have you ever been fired from a job?
No.
Charged with a crime?
No.
Convicted of a crime?
No.
Arrested for a crime?
No.
Placed on probation?
No.
From a job?
No.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Never. I've been very blessed. I've never had a write-up or anything, so.
In your personnel file from any job?
Yes.
Okay.
I've only had two, so.
What was your job as the sheriff and then your job as?
Well, my job here at DeKalb County and 4 years in Warren County, yes. And I worked like 6 months in a factory one time, but that was years ago. I worked here and there, matter of fact.
Back to the investigation of Lauren Agee's death, did you personally conduct any witness interviews of family members, friends, or witnesses at the scene other than your interview that you had with Ms. Smith when you accompanied Officer Detective Taylor that one night?
No.
And why is that?
That's what I have detectives for. I don't do
witness interviews.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your detectives do the witness interviews, and you supervise their work.
Yes. Now, I have in the past done some of those. I mean, if I might sit in on an interview with something, but just not this one, because the majority of them were already done before
you got back.
I got back.
Would it surprise you to know that there were witness interviews taken for which there was no written recording or documentation or audio recording or documentation in this investigation? Is that standard?
Depends on what that interview is and what came out of it. I didn't take a statement from the officer up there because he had nothing to say.
I see.
So, I mean, I don't, that's a two-sided question.
So tell me when in your office it is necessary to take down a written statement or an audio recording of a witness versus when it's not necessary.
They have information that's pertinent to whatever you're investigating. What would, of course, be a time that you would want to record something.
And what type of information would they need to have?
Credible, reliable, not what maybe somebody else heard or something of what they know.
And so, for example, you mentioned that the officer in White County described an individual male who had been present at the scene, who was acting, quote, funny, but we don't know the name of that individual because it wasn't written down. Would that have been information that you, looking back, want to know?
I think he knew the individual he was talking about because he was on the boat with him.
Who is he?
Jeremy Taylor.
Jeremy Taylor knew the individual that the officer from White County was mm-hmm. referencing.
Yep.
Because he was on the boat with Jeremy Taylor when?
No. The officer was on the boat with whoever
was acting funny.
At
the time when you went to interview him?
No. Jeremy knew who he was talking about that was acting funny, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right. But if you didn't make a recording of your interview of the officer from White County, how can someone who's subsequently reviewing your files identify who was allegedly acting funny?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Let's see what you're saying.
So if information like that is determined on site to be not important enough to write down, how do we track your investigation? If that makes any sense.
Let's see what you're saying.
Would you, looking back now, have made a written recording or an audio recording of that investigation or that interview of the officer?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I would or not.
Right.
I mean, he didn't tell us nothing while we were there. He told us he didn't know nothing.
Except that the guy was acting funny.
Well, that's all he said, though.
Yeah.
He couldn't even describe what that was.
But he thought it was important enough to call the mother of the deceased.
Yes.
Did he share, to your knowledge, did he share with the mother of the deceased any other information that maybe he shared with you that night?
No.
Okay. And we don't know the name of the officer that you interviewed at that time because we didn't make a written recording of that interview. Is there anyone else that you might have spoken with that you didn't document?
That's it.
Do you know if Jeremy Taylor also conducted interviews for which there was no audio or written recording?
I don't know.
As a policy matter, do you require your officers to document the steps they take during an investigation?
They do at the end of their case. When they get done with it, they do a case review report or something that was on there to tell what they've done or what the case is happened with the case.
Have you reviewed the case review report in this investigation?
Yes.
And what do you recall about that report? Anything of significance?
No.
If I provide you a copy of it, would it refresh your recollection?
I don't know what you're asking me.
The investigative report?
Yes.
Did it have anything of significance about the investigation? Not to your recollection?
No.
Okay, I'm going to give you a copy of it. Does this look like the investigative report that Detective Taylor prepared?
Yes, it does.
Okay. And are you familiar with Detective Taylor's signature? On the second page, we see a signature. Does that appear to be the signature that Detective Taylor would have used to sign this report?
I believe so.
Now, this report is only 2 pages and contains very little information about the steps taken in the investigation. In your opinion and experience, is this the length or depth of a typical report of a death investigation in your office?
I have different officers that do different things. I have some that are better in some things than others. I have some that will write 15 pages, and some that will write smaller pages. Some of them have better strengths in different things in her office, so. But yes, I've read what it says.
Is this one more on the short side and underdeveloped side compared to other officers? Or is this more common and lengthy and detailed compared to other officers?
It is smaller. than some of them.
Would you say that Officer or Detective Taylor's weakness is in developing reports and documenting files? I'm just trying to understand more about him as a detective in your office as compared to other detectives.
Some, yeah. He's would probably not write a longer report than some others would.
Who in your office, if anyone, trains detectives? Are you there, Stephanie? Okay. Trains officers, if anyone, on preparing investigative reports?
They go through that, I'm sure, and go through that in their academy, when they're sent to the academy for post-certification. They are by minimum standards, and that is all I'm required to have officers by minimum standards. They do 40 hours of in-service every year, and some in services that have different topics that are there, some that are just one topic.
Approximately how long is the academy?
9 weeks. They've upped it here in the last couple of classes, so I think it's 9 weeks.
So 9 weeks consisting of, what, about 40 hours a week of training?
Or more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
they stay on campus.
Gotcha. Yeah. And to your knowledge, did Jeremy Taylor have to go through that 9-week academy?
Yes, he did.
Okay. I see. And during that time, he would have learned how to prepare a case file and document a case file and prepare an investigative report.
I'm sure they went over that there.
Okay. And do you believe that this investigative report and the case file that Detective Taylor prepared is consistent with the level of training that he would have been provided during the academy?
I can't answer that.
Why?
Well, they would have to answer that. The academy would.
I'm asking you and your experience as a sheriff, mm-hmm. if you believe that this is a deficient report or if this is an acceptable report along with your experience.
I believe it could have been longer, but at the end of the day, I think the results would still be where they are.
Right, so, but do you think that the report itself is deficient?
It could have some other things in it. I'll agree with that. But at the end of the day, we're still right back where we are with the results of the case. So I think that he tried to hit the highlights of what was there in the report to get to the end of it.
What's your understanding of the result of the investigation or the results of the case?
Of what?
Well, you mentioned that this report, you agree, is deficient and could have, or I'm going to say should have, included more information.
Objection, never agreed that it was deficient.
Do you believe that this report is deficient?
I'll say again what I said. I could have put more stuff in it, but the next officer might not have put as much as that. I don't know.
Right, but that's not really an answer to my question.
Well, I can say that I think he put the facts of the case that was in there that he thought he should put, and at the end of the day, the what he has down here is right.
Do you believe that this report is deficient?
I mean, I know what it says, and I understand what it says.
It's a yes or no answer.
I told you. I could have added some extra stuff to it, you know, and another officer might have added more than I did. So, you know, I don't know. How do you grade a report?
Do you believe that this report is deficient in comparison to the level that you are taught in the academy that you expect of your officers?
I will say that I think he could have put some more details in it.
Respectfully, that's what you said before, but it isn't really an answer to my question, and I hate to do this and be repetitive, and I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to badger you, but we had an objection because of my mischaracterization of your testimony, and I don't want to mischaracterize your testimony, so I'm going to ask you to just answer this question, and then I promise I will move on. It's really a yes or no question about this report. You testified that you believe he could have put more information.
Yep.
That's fair. Do you believe he should have put more information?
I don't know how to answer it without going back.
It's a yes or no.
He could have.
If you say could have, I'm going to keep asking.
You're going to give me again.
I'm going to ask it again.
The counselor, we've gone over this. It's been asked and answered.
It hasn't been answered. He's going to answer it.
Consistently the same.
But it's not been answered. It's a yes or no question. And I'm going to get the answer for my record.
I could take a 6-page report that he wrote and said and say the same thing with. So I don't, like I said, I don't know how you grade investigative reports.
What do you?
Because he still has a case file to back up what is in here. This is just not all he has. So you have to put all that in together. You're picking one thing out here to get me to try to answer to of where what is here is not the whole. The whole case file.
What do you use investigative reports for? On what do you rely on the investigative? What's the purpose of the investigative report?
To summarize what has happened and to let our we have to report through Tiber's different crimes and things like that of what has happened with the case.
Do you believe that this investigative report is a sufficient summary of what has happened in the investigation of this case?
I do with the case file itself.
On its own, you don't think it's sufficient? Well, I'm just asking. This isn't going to sink or sail the ship.
Well, there again, this is not the only part of the case file. So I don't know how to answer your question without...
The investigative report combined with the case file.
Yes.
Do you believe is sufficient?
Yes.
As a representation of what happened
in this case?
Yes.
Yes. With what's in there? Yes.
Okay. We'll mark this exhibit 1.
Lauren's family gives their full permission for any and all details to be shared in hope that the truth will come out. If you know anything at all, call 1-888-599-0008 or email tips@SheilaWysocki.com. Next time on Without Warning.
Have you ever talked to your wife about this case?
Yes.
What did you say? What is the nature of your communication with your wife about this case?
Makes me very angry.
Why?
Very angry. I'm sorry?
Why is that?
Because of the lies and the slant that has been put toward it, to use my name like that, yes, very upsets me greatly.
Without Warning, host, executive director, and executive producer Sheila Wysocki, producers Katie Zitzman and Aaron Parker, editors Katie Zitzman and Aaron Parker, mixing and mastering by Resonate Recordings, narrator Tim Evans. Thank you for listening to Without Warning. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave us a quick review to help others discover it too. If you or someone you know something about this case or the people involved, you can submit tips by emailing tips@SheilaWysocki.com.